This is the second video on hashtag Russian censor files. You can find the first video as well as a discussion with a member of the Belarusian Cyberpartisans in the description below. You'll also see a link to an article focusing on this video. So what's in this video? A series of hacked Russian government documents and emails, and I've translated most of them into English. As a refresher, the hashtag Russian censor files constitutes one of the largest hacks of Russian government data in recent history. It was perpetrated by the hacktivist group Belarusian Cyberpartisans and released by what at times is called the successor to WikiLeaks, Distributed Denial of Secrets, or DDoS. The hacked information was from the General Radio Frequency Center, a subdivision of the Russian Federal Executive Agency responsible for monitoring, controlling, and censoring Russian media called Roskomnadzor. Around 820 gigabytes of emails, documents, attachments, tables, images, workbooks, and more are included in this data set. Themes range from censorship of anti-war protests in Russia to silencing of the LGBTQ community and leveraging AI for automation of future censorship by the state. This is vitally important information as it sheds lights on the government mechanisms used to suppress activists, protesters, and dissent in Russia, but also to provide insight into how other countries might use similar methods against their own citizens, including the United States. For the rest of this video, I'll show you the actual Russian government documents that I gained access to via DDoS. I'll be sure to describe them for audio listeners as well, so let's get into it. The first few images are merely to show or describe the types of materials found within the dataset. What we are looking at now is an internal email from GRFC employees to Roskomnadzor. This could be forwarded to many different government agencies, including FSB. The email reads 2022-8-12, so August of 2022, URLs aimed at entering and blocking, 12-30. The email reads, I am sending a list of pages aimed at entering and blocking within the framework of the Unified Register at the moment. The Unified Register is a censorship database containing websites and online content deemed in violation of Russian law. The register is a tool used by the government to control dissemination of information and influence public opinion by suppressing any and all information that might be seen as against the interests of the Putin regime. Now, this particular email provides other insight as well. Near the bottom, it reads, and it's translated, so it might be a little off, the information specified in the article contains false information about the policy being pursued. The special military operation of the Russian armed forces in Ukraine is called an attack, an invasion. So what does that mean? Okay, forget about opposition parties or organized opposition political groups and collectives. This means that if you or I simply call Russia's invasion of Ukraine what it is, an invasion, we are subject to targeted censorship and reporting that is sent to various government agencies, as mentioned before, including Russian Security Service, or FSB. That threat in and of itself acts as a silencing mechanism within the country. Social media platform posts are watched by employees of the GRFC as well. We are looking at a series of Telegram posts marked for blocking. Now, this is a portion of a much larger report. This is a report in both the original Russian text as well as English translated text. A website URL pointing to an article entitled Why Navalny Was Poisoned is marked for blocking. For those who don't know, Navalny has been an opposition figure to Vladimir Putin for a number of years. A quote-unquote foreign agent entity is also marked for labeling as such. Being labeled a foreign agent is not simply a rhetorical categorization by the government. In 2012, Russia passed the Foreign Agent Law, which forces entities deemed as such to register with the government, be subject to government audits, and have all materials marked as from a foreign agent. The law was implemented in response to protests against Putin's regime with associated criminal laws added. At first, the laws pertained to NGOs or non-government organizations who are supposedly politically motivated, such as human rights organizations. Now, as discussed in the first hashtag Russian censor files video, the hack shows that it's now applied loosely to literally anything or anyone, including individuals, artists, musicians, movies, plays, etc., that criticize Putin or the invasion of Ukraine. This slide shows the amounts of URLs and materials marked for censorship. What we're looking at is just a portion of a list composed of attached lists, plural, for blocking. This screenshot has posts from Telegram and VK. And VK is like Russia's version of Facebook. Many of these posts have to do with the topic of Ukraine. Now, speaking of Facebook, GRFC employees monitor that platform as well, searching for posts to be blocked within the Russian Federation. This is a portion of a much larger report. It cites a TV channel, Current Time, as containing videos refuting the official position of the Ministry of Defense of the Russian Federation. Okay, what's the official position? Here we are. That Russian troops are fighting Bandera and neo-fascists, as well as that shelling is carried out only on military targets. So that's the official position. Remember that next time that you see a post on social media talking about Bandera Nazis, it's literally conforming to Russian state propaganda, and to suggest otherwise within Russia will get you censored and sent in a report to Russian FSB. This will also happen if you dare to report on civilian casualties or human rights violations perpetrated by Russian soldiers. We'll see that later. And so if you're curious, here we are. This is the site that's blocked. You can see that many of the videos have to do with different topics around the Russian regime and Ukraine. Now, some of these reports are very, very large with a lot of text. And this is an example of one of those. This is, again, just one portion of a much larger report. So this portion of a report listing media sources includes opposition to the Putin regime, anti-war protests in Russia, Russian war crimes, and the Wagner mercenary group. One title of an article set up for censorship is Anti-War Activists Arrange Guerrilla Protests on Victory Day. Another title, Vladimir Putin Has Become a Pathetic Dictator and Paranoid. An article from the Moscow Times discusses Ukraine beginning war crime trials against Russian soldiers as reports of incidents are not followed up on by Russia. Another article from 512 documents activities by the Wagner Group. The article states Russia insists that Wagner doesn't have any ties with the state, which the former member being interviewed refutes, and of which we have learned to be true in the past few days since the Wagner Group rebellion. And so here's this article that is blocked for viewing within Russia, titled Russian Ex-Mercenary Says Kremlin Should Stay Off of Foreign Soil. So looking at this, here's some of the highlights. Chain smoking and sporting a polo shirt with a skull clutching a knife between his teeth. The person being interviewed told AFP he had fought for Wagner for pro-Russian forces in the east of Ukraine in 2015 and then undertook several missions in Syria up to 2019. He was apparently wounded in Syria by a grenade. And he wonders if the Russian intervention in Syria, which began in 2015, has done the country any good. In his quotes, the people of Syria are sitting without electricity, without fuel, in hunger and cold. That's it. And in this sense, I think the intervention did not help them. He goes on to talk about what's occurring in Ukraine as he also served there. While the Kremlin now seeks control deep into Ukraine, the person being interviewed says that it'd be far wiser to focus on problems at home, where ordinary Russians struggle to make ends meet. It would have been better to have sorted all that out, but they, the Russian leadership, needed a small victorious war to improve their ratings, so poll numbers. He added, "We needed to look after our internal problems and work so that people started to respect us, look up to us, so that we became an example for Ukraine of well-being. And then Ukraine would have come to us and not pushed away from us." And near the bottom of this article, and pertinent to our video, he refutes official government statements saying that the Wagner Group had nothing to do with the Russian government, which we now know is actually the truth. He points out the hypocrisy in this, him having actually served in both Syria and Ukraine in this group for or on the behalf of Russia. That, you know, him saying that that was not true, that Wagner was actually associated with the Russian government, could have put him in prison in Russia. He says that he wants to return to the motherland, but for now he will stay abroad, mindful of the draconian new laws in Russia that foresee jail terms of up to 15 years for anyone deemed to be disseminating false information about Russia's actions in Ukraine. So this is a real life example of what some of those emails and reports we've been looking at, you know, mean. In quotes, these laws envisage criminal punishment for telling the truth about the army and expressing your opinion by calling this a war, not a special operation. So essentially, even somebody that served with the Wagner Group in both Ukraine and Syria, saying something as simple as this is a war, as opposed to the official statement or classification of what's happening in Ukraine being a special military operation, and that can land you 15 years in jail. Discrediting the use of the armed forces of the Russian Federation. Reporting on Russian military losses is not allowed. This is to help the government control all aspects of the narrative regarding the invasion of Ukraine and suppress any negative views that might impact public opinion. This email goes on to cite more war crimes labeled for censorship, including an article entitled "Russia Kills Civilians in Ukraine, Robs Shops." Again, this is a portion of a much larger email report sent to Roskomnadzor for blocking in Russia. In this report, there's an article entitled "Torture and Pretrial Detention and Dozens of Lives Saved." A volunteer spoke about the life of occupied Mariupol. The article includes a volunteer who describes torture and atrocities against the civilian population by Russian soldiers. Terms such as occupiers and invaders are used, and so cannot be seen in Russia. Very much like the idea of calling the invasion an invasion, the war a war and not special military operation, you also cannot refer to Russians as invaders or occupiers. So here's a portion of that article that was sent for blocking. In quotes, "After one of the interrogations, a guy was dragged into our cell and laid on the floor. He was all blue, his skin smelled of burning. That's how they beat, with electric shocks." He goes on in quotes to talk about how the man was fainting and in terrible condition and how those in the cell rallied around him to save his life. According to him, these are not the worst things that could happen in such self-organized pre-trial detention centers by the occupiers or Russians. Those who are taken to occupy Donetsk will face even greater torture. This theme of trying to control the narrative continues with other examples. So here we're seeing from an email report the citing of a news station that was reporting that Russian soldiers destroyed a significant grain terminal in Ukraine, which of course would impact distribution of food. And yet another example of a report regarding an article entitled "Allowed to Shoot at Civilians, There Was a Command to Capture Kharkiv in 3 Days." This article is from a human rights group. Criticisms of Vladimir Putin. Any type of insults, including a simple meme that attacks or discredits Vladimir Putin, will be reported and wrapped up in one of these reports. That's what we see here. In this email, it's a URL that's going to be blocked because it compared Vladimir Putin to Adolf Hitler. And here is just yet another email correspondence. Again, a URL that was reported to be blocked simply for insulting Vladimir Putin. This email was somewhat important, you know, in respect to in regards to the others. Along with blocking any and all criticism of Vladimir Putin, there is special attention towards any discussion of his health. This instructional email, which is a follow-up to a prior conversation, states that the essence of the task is to monitor news about the deterioration of the health of the president of the Russian Federation, VV Putin. This concern over reporting of health was especially sensitive or targeted around potential cancer diagnoses. So, again, if you're watching on the right, that's the example from the data set in Russian, the report. On the left are some translated bullet points, and there are different articles or media sources discussing his health, again, specified towards any type of diagnosis to cancer. This information was so closely tracked that charts and graphs were created for visual reporting on the number of stories in a given time that were published regarding Vladimir Putin's health. And we can see one visual representation here. On the bottom axis, we see the time or dates. And then going up, we see the number of news articles or publications. Russian losses in the invasion of Ukraine. It should come as no surprise at this point that reporting on Russian military losses is also up for censorship. This email report treats evidence of Russian army losses as essentially constituting a state secret. It should come as no surprise that any type of reporting, legitimate or otherwise, of military deaths and casualties in the invasion of Ukraine is not allowed within Russia. And an interesting thing about this article is near the top underneath the two links that are cited for blocking. According to the text, the court decision, information constituting a state secret. So I want to stop there. So essentially, the reporting on military losses or Russian military losses by the decision of courts constitutes a state secret within Russia. This email is interesting as well. It states that the information in the video that's cited does not correspond to the official position of the Ministry of Defense. And so one would then ask, what is the official position regarding Russian losses by the Ministry of Defense? Who knows? Criticism of the invasion of Ukraine. As we've seen, pretty much any criticism of the Russian military or Putin's regime is banned in Russia. However, special attention is paid to criticizing Russia's invasion of Ukraine. We've touched on this already, but just the sheer amount of censorship over the invasion of Ukraine cannot be understated. Here is a portion of just one workbook filled with rows of URLs and comments from VK, Telegram, and Twitter set to be reported and blocked in Russia. Individuals of note who speak out about Russia's invasion and occupation have files put together for FSB. This file is for Andrei Zubov, a professor of historical science and deputy chairman of the People's Freedom Party. He was dismissed from his position in 2014 after condemning the annexation of Crimea. Affiliated social media accounts are listed as well. Think of this something like an FBI file. Now, some of these reports are essentially admissions of guilt. This one that we're looking at is targeting an article which simply states the fact that individuals in Crimea are being conscripted into the Russian military. This at first was denied by the Russian government, stating that only reservesmen were being called up. But this is a particularly sore topic, specifically Crimea, because of the Tatar population there. That population was subject to a mass deportation in the Soviet era rule. Nearly 8,000 Crimean Tatars died during the deportation and tens of thousands perished after due to the harsh exile conditions. Since Russia's annexation of Crimea, which the Crimean Tatar institutions never recognized, that specific population has suffered targeted harassment, imprisonment, and forced military conscription. Information about individual soldiers is subject to reporting too. This might make sense for privacy reasons, but this LiveJournal link is blocked for another reason. The link contains an article discussing just how young some of the Russian soldiers are and criticized Russia for using them in battle. This email report discusses an article entitled Stop Russism, along with criticism of the invasion of Ukraine. So, you know, what is this? It looks like Stop Racism. But stop racism or Russian fascism is a term used by a number of scholars, politicians, and publicists to describe the political ideology and social practices of the Russian state in the late 20th and early 21st century, specifically under the rule of Vladimir Putin. And speaking of parallels or criticisms, perhaps pointing to fascism, now let's look at protests. Just as with the other themes, discussion of really anything to do with protest, whether it's discussing it, trying to organize it, or participating in it, lands you on GRFC reports sent to Roskomnadzor for Russian FSB. This is a particular interest to me because I can only assume that if I lived in Russia, my name would be on one of these reports. This document that we're looking at was sent to the Deputy Prosecutor General of the Russian Federation. In this document are a series of links relating to calls for protests. And such government tracking has real life implications beyond just censorship. I followed a URL found in the GRFC report seen here. If you're watching, there's three images in the center of the screen. It brought me to a Telegram channel, which are the other images on both sides, entitled St. Petersburg Spring. It is run by the Young Democratic Movement, which seeks to build a free Russia where human rights will be respected. The latest post describes ongoing court cases in Russia against members of the organization. I couldn't help but feel that I could be in their situation had I been born in this region. But of course, not all voices in protests are agreeable. Some comments, such as the one that we see here, which was also reported, complain about Russia's invasion and have nothing to do with solidarity with those suffering the brunt of that, but instead resentment. Comments captured in this GRFC report show the familiar antagonism that refugees of war sometimes face when seeking asylum. And just looking at this report, stating, why did this guy run away? Why do our local native guys have to go and fight when this guy ran away? First, you come for our jobs. The resentment that you might hear in other countries, including the United States, with asylum seekers. Now, this one is a little bit different because it's not just posts on social media. This is an organized type of protest, the subject being demand of the prosecutor general's office, mass event of Team Navalny. So again, this is an actual opposition figure. And here we're looking at an email discussing protests surrounding that figure. The type of prohibited information is calls for participation in mass public events held in violation of established procedures. This email from Roskomnadzor shows a series of links to social media sites labeled as calls for extremist activities. What are these extremist activities? One was a video appeal to go out on the streets of cities and protest. Another was asking to repost the text from a group that contained a call for mass public events. In other words, freedom of assembly. And again, I'm not going to go through this, but for those who are listening, this is just one piece of one tab of one Excel workbook. And there's 41 rows here. There are hundreds of rows on this with multiple tabs. I highlighted some of the topics, but most of them had to do with protesting the war in Ukraine. For instance, the top says, take to the streets now and fight. We can stop. Political and other support to Ukraine. We, Russia, want to be a nation of peace. So things of that type of sentiment just being blocked, right? And this is not organized opposition mostly. These are more comments and they're from Facebook. And again, just to show, this is just another piece of a much larger table. I highlighted some again, talking about how to end the war, calls for protests against the war in Ukraine. Some of these have to do with Navalny here, but some of them are not. These are all from Twitter. So Facebook and Twitter are actively being censored. And, just to give some perspective, this will be hard to see, but it's just a larger screenshot of, again, many, many, many rows, many columns, one portion of one tab of one workbook. Now, not all the protests that are reported and censored have to do with Russia's invasion of Ukraine. For instance, this protest is regarding retirement age in Russia. These protests, and again, these are a series of comments and links to be blocked. There's a number of columns from a workbook if you're listening, but these are environmental protests, essentially. One protest in particular was about the creation of a landfill in a small area, small kind of like outskirt region of Russia. Now, this protest, it's just interesting because these were concerned citizens, people lived in the area that just didn't want a landfill built. It wasn't as if this is like some international NGO environmentalist group or something that could be spun into propaganda. These were literally people in the area that were protesting because they didn't want a landfill built in their backyard. And it became the censorship and pushback from the government made it into something that was so much larger than what it really was. It turned into something of a large event. And what we're looking at here is a paper that was actually written about it, Social Media and State Repression. So it is the case against the censorship of on social media and the anti-garbage protests and shies in far northern Russia. In a way, it gets that to that point of attempting such control and such censorship backfires eventually, right? And putting this much effort into something like people protesting locally over the creation of a landfill, just seems like a waste of resources, but it ended up blowing it up into something that was much larger anyway. This email from Roscommon claims an invitation to a rally against judicial injustice, and it's marked to be restricted for disseminating calls of mass public events held in violation of the established procedure in the Russian Federation. So this was people saying we want to go protest because we think that there have been some court cases that weren't on the up and up, and those people were put into a report again sent to Roskomnadzor, to Special Services FSB. And kind of getting back to that, the granularity of this, how this is not just against opposition political figures or something, right? This report is about a strike of taxi drivers, and in this report about taxi drivers striking, it includes location. It includes the result of the protest, including the amount of people that were there. It includes the organizers' names as well as the organizers' associated social media accounts. It includes the date. It includes all of this granular information over taxi drivers protesting. And again, just to gain some understanding, here's yet another. Kind of zoom out. This is 45 rows of just one workbook that had hundreds of rows in this one column with multiple columns. Here's another screenshot from a workbook. This one is more of a horizontal capture, so not as many rows, but more columns to show the amount of metadata. And even this is cut off. But many of these, some of them are articles, but this is true for just social media posts, something that you or I would post if we post a meme making fun of Vladimir Putin or something, right? The amount of metadata that's stripped from that and put into these workbooks that are then again sourced to FSB is it's amazing the amount of effort for what is really, in many times, it seems as if an inconsequential statement from somebody who might just be upset or sharing a meme. Opposition. So here's yet another workbook. This one includes what are considered oppositional forces and opinion leaders. With updated laws, these groups and individuals can be labeled as foreign agents. This is another report about protests associated with Navalny. These emails are interesting to me because they show a method of GRFC staff. In the screenshot on the right, and this is true for others as well. The date and time are pulled up from the tray on the computer. I'm sure that this is a method that's used for reporting to show date and time that this was found. So in this report, you see the same method where the date and time are pulled up. So the clock is up and the date from the tray on the computer. But this is interesting as well. Just reading directly from it, this is an article in quotes. The issue of Navalny has not been finally resolved, with information about a nonprofit organization that performs functions of a foreign agent without appropriate marking. The director of FBK sums up some of the results of the protest on Facebook actions on January 23rd, noting that residents took part in uncoordinated rallies in many cities, including those they're not considered protests. So, you know, even considering uncoordinated events or individual protests and pickets, non-traditional sexual orientation. Porn sites, links that show LGBTQ content are also open to blocking. Xhamster is a porn site that's considered, I think, mainstream in the United States. I'm sure there's bad stuff on there, just like there is Pornhub and other sites, but it's not some strange underground site. It is described here as information that denies family values and promotes non-traditional sexual relations among children. This is something that you see throughout the data set. LGBTQ topics are continually connected to pedophilia and child abuse. The Russian government has been targeting members of the LGBTQ community for years. Laws have been passed that make it illegal to possess LGBTQ quote-unquote propaganda, and often equates it with child abuse. This should be of particular interest to activists in the United States who are currently fighting back against the rollout of anti-LGBTQ laws as well. Looking at this particular email that was sent internally within the Roscommons, or these aren't pornography websites. Some of these are LGBTQ libraries. Some of them are historical resources, libraries. So, you know, anything associated with this, festivals are cited, are going to be blocked. Censorship methods and improvements. Another disturbing theme found in the data set was optimization of censorship. And that's what this email here is about. The email discusses how GRFC employees might manually aggregate information and then turn it into visual data for visual representation. The manual processing of content and report creation has flaws. They range from human error to individual bias. And due to limitations in manual censorship and visual report creation, the GRFC has investigated use of artificial intelligence. These slides are from a PowerPoint presentation entitled "The Results of the Research Work Studying the Capabilities of AI to Detect Violations in Images and Video Materials" from the Oculus Research Institute. Since these slides are images and not text, I used image to text software myself for a translation from Russian to English. The presentation suggests using automated targeting of internet content that depicts mass gatherings, face recognition, and text and images or videos. Since these slides are essentially images, they're not text, I used image to text software myself for translation from Russian to English. And the presentation we see here is suggesting different recommended methods for detecting violation, recognition of a mass gathering of people, facial recognition, as well as text and image and video recognition, stripping the metadata from images. The problem statement provides insight into what role the Russian government believes it plays in censorship. The scientific task is to study the use of AI, computer vision, to identify signs of so-called violations. This slide talks about the research reports. There's also a whole timeline that I discussed in the first video. You can go back to that if you'd like to look. But this is talking about the documentation for development of this Oculus service, methods of detection and recognition in image and videos, including visual images, text and symbols and watermarks, layout, proposed algorithms, markup data sets for training AI modules, etc. Elon Musk. Even Elon Musk was found in this data set, which is ironic since DDoS is currently banned from Twitter. Perhaps Musk will reconsider this ban given his interest in free speech and promotion of Matt Taibbi's Twitter files. However, given Musk's penchant for banning accounts that don't align with his personal politics, that might seem like a pipe dream. That being said, in all honesty, most of the content involving Musk is relatively inconsequential, especially when compared to other things found in the data set. One thing that caught my eye or that was of interest is Neuralink being discussed. And, you know, it's concerning to say the least, given all that we've learned about censorship on the internet and the already investment in development for AI to automate censorship, the interest that was being taken into Neuralink you can only extrapolate what kind of bad things that could lead to. More consequential, and this was really the big thing that I saw about Musk. Musk has proposed de-escalation plans for Ukraine that have not only drawn ire of activists, but also the president of Ukraine himself. Many activists and Ukrainians have tried to explain how, quote unquote, peace resulting in territorial annexations is inherently pro-Russian and forcibly prevents Ukrainians from self-defense. Forcing this unpopular outcome upon the citizens of Ukraine is inherently imperialistic and neocolonial in and of itself. The criticism was evidenced in the following GRFC report. The report states, in quotes, "The presenters read out the proposal supporting recognition of liberated territories as part of Russia." So Musk's kind of flippant idea that he just kind of came up with was actually put into Russian media, and the Russian media caught the eye of GRFC employees. Roskomnadzor got it, sent it over to FSB. And that's probably a good place to stop. There's so much information in these data sets that it can't all be covered. And I'll put a link into the description again, showing you different articles with news sources or outlets that have investigative teams that really delved in and looked at this on a metadata level if you are interested in larger trends as opposed to some anecdotal things that I was able to see myself. But I think that after that Musk comment, the conclusion is this: while Western intellectuals possess valuable knowledge and insights, it's crucial to recognize the limitations of their understanding of global realities. Self-interest, cultural bias, limited perspectives, and imposition of personal ideology can lead to problems. These problems include, but are not limited to, unintended consequences, dismissal of regional sovereignty and decision-making, unintentional reinforces of global power imbalances, and ultimately kind of weaponization of their faulty reasoning against the very people that they're claiming to be helping. The hashtag Russian censor files are significant because they highlight the repression of anti-war voices, opposition figures, persecution of the LGBTQ community, and plans for AI-driven automated internet censorship. Activists and concerned individuals in the West should be invested in learning more about this information in solidarity with Ukrainians fighting against neocolonial genocide, anti-war activists in Russia, and with an understanding that other governments, including the United States, could very well be conducting similar research.